What does it feel like when you experience hope? You know, our ministry is Intentional Living, and our radio network, Family Life Radio, really talk about experiencing hope. I was thinking about that song that says, you know, my hope is built on nothing less, you know, than Jesus' love and His righteousness. What do you build your hope on? That's what we're going to talk about today. Maybe you've experienced hope and you want to share your story with us. We'd love to hear it on our comment line live right now. You can call 888-888-1717 and share your story. We have lifted from our archive some of the best calls to share on the air today. They're already set to go. But we'd love to hear from you on our storyline. Again, 888-888-1717. I think hope is one of those things that when you experience it, you know you've experienced it. You know, it's something that you feel it. It's a feeling. And of course, we know if we put our hope in the wrong things, it'll dissipate quickly and we'll find out it's hollow afterward. But when we build our hope on Christ and His love and His concern for us and care for us, it changes everything. So the question is, how have you experienced God's hope in your life? We'd love to hear it. All right, we get started in California with Eric. And Eric, welcome to the program. I appreciate you calling. How can I help you today, my friend?
Yeah, well, I have a question. Newly married to a woman, beautiful woman, that's generous and kind, has a big heart, but she has no children of her own. And I have two children. Unfortunately, they have two different mothers. And periodically, I have to converse and see these other women. My wife does not understand, and I don't understand her not understanding. But there seems to be some tension, maybe some jealousy, and maybe some resentment.
Hey, listen, Eric, I think you said it, man. You said my wife, she's beautiful, she's wonderful, and all of these things, but she's got a big heart, which means she's a hard person. And she probably operates out of her emotions, and maybe she's been hurt. Maybe there's been a trust issue in her life. And obviously here you are interacting with these other women. You got another life that she knows nothing about, had no involvement in. And it's understandable that she's going to feel a little funny about that. But I think you said it well. I don't understand why she doesn't understand. And I think that's where I'd begin, man. Listen, Eric, you need to sit down with your wife and say, honey, listen, I want to understand. I mean, these are ex-wives. You're my wife. Okay, there's a question in her mind. Are they really ex-wives? Are they really out of your life? See? And then ask her to speak to you. What is she feeling? What does this make her feel like? And then ask this profound, intentional living question. What one thing can I do to help you feel better about these interactions that I have to have? That's part of it. When you got married to me, you married the whole enchilada. My kids and their mothers, there's going to be a relationship for the rest of my life with these people. What one thing can I do intentionally that's going to help you feel better about that relationship? In other words, Eric, what you're doing is you're showing her that you honor her, that you care about her, but you're also facing the reality. Don't go behind your back. You've got to have openness and honesty. And I'll tell you, Eric, your call's a reminder of how complicated and complex things can get with blended families, and we see it every day. If you just joined us, this is Intentional Living. By the way, I'm live here today, and our phone line is open to you. Maybe you've got some take on how you've handled that particular kind of thing in your life. Give us a call, 888-888-1717. One of the big messages of Intentional Living is that people would experience the hope, see, the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And we always love it when people call and tell us a hope-filled story. And I think Jana wants to do that from Idaho today. So Jana, welcome to the program. How has hope changed your life?
I think everything kind of started to go downhill in my life about the end of September. My mom died really rapidly of ovarian cancer. So I was kind of reeling from that. We weren't particularly close, and just because you're not close to someone doesn't mean you're not going to grieve when they pass. Right. And I think you start missing the things that maybe could have been. So that's where I was on a little bit shaky ground. And then I was working at a job where I had to work alone a lot. a man came in with a mask and a hood and a gun and robbed the place, tied me up. There was sexual assault. He left, and I had to count to 2,000 before I could go for help. And I remember sitting there while I was counting to 2,000, feeling very hopeful that I was going to be okay. I kept meditating on that. Sorry, I get a little bit nervous.
That's all right.
That God works all things together for good. And I just kept saying that over and over and over while I was sitting there waiting to go get help. And I felt this great sense of promise that I was going to be okay. And not only that, that some really good things were going to come from it. So I actually, from the very first moment, had hope. I didn't know what was coming, but I thought good was going to be coming. And I've struggled a lot in the past with depression, with not really understanding grace and mercy and forgiveness. And now I just went into the lab, basically, to learn about these things firsthand. Because when you have some giant to forgive, you start contemplating forgiveness. And what does that really mean? You can't look at your circumstances. You really have to go back to looking at God. And what I do daily, in fact, I would say probably hourly, is that I think about God is going to give me enough of what I need to get through that day. If I start looking ahead, then I start getting a little bit panicky because he doesn't give me enough grace for next week. He gives me enough grace today. So I've really started to narrow my thinking down, and I think about his provision, you know, give us this day our daily bread. His mercies are new every morning. And I contemplate that a lot.
You know, Jan, I was thinking while you were sharing that the song that we sing in church about my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, on his righteousness, his blood, who he is. And for the believer, we have a different definition of hope. We live in a world today, it says things like, I hope so, or, you know, I just hope things work out. It's sort of a kind of a mushy thing. But for the believer, there's an element of certainty about hope. We believe that our hope is in a person. We believe our hope is in the reality of Jesus Christ and not in a hope so, maybe, perhaps, down the road. And I think that ties into all the kind of calls that we're going to get today, even starting with Eric. I mean, Eric, I heard him talk about this new marriage and his wife not understanding about his past and trying to put the future together, and he probably feels pretty hopeless in the process. To understand that hope is something that we experience, but it's also something that we cling to and then live out intentionally every day. Intentional Living, we're here to help you today live your one life. You only get one. To live your one life intentionally in Christ. I mean, that's it. This is a one life deal. The days are passing quickly. Do the math. We get about 27,000 days on the planet, give or take. Some less, some more, but about 27,000 days on average. And how we live every one of those days makes a difference. Intentional living is not about perfection. It's about making that declaration of your intention. And today, whatever it is, if you're sick and tired of being in debt today to say, I'm looking for freedom in my finances, I'm going to get there intentionally. If you're wrestling with your marriage, you're not communicating, you're not on the same page, to be able to stand up and say, today I declare that before God, my one thing to be intentional, my declaration is to really bring my marriage before God and become the man or the woman I need to be in this marriage to confront the issues that are there and do it intentionally. The first step in the intentional living process is to freely declare your intentions. And in other words, overcoming good intentions. Good intentions are a dime a dozen. I don't even know why they use the word good in front of intention, because there's nothing good about them. They're evil, because a good intention that's not acted on allows us to live in a world of illusion, and that's destructive. All right, come and join us if you want to add into the discussion. You have a question, comment, 888-888-1717.
My daughter went in for routine surgery, but the surgery did not go as it was supposed to. So for the past 4 years, my daughter really has been the personification of hope, because the condition she was left with is a life-threatening condition. Through these 4 years, even with a constant threat of death, she didn't hope for a cure. There is no cure. She just hoped in the grace of God and that He would be glorified in her life.
Kathy, as I was hearing you share that story, what a precious story and a precious daughter. And it sort of is a reminder and an illustration of what I started with at the beginning of the show. We're talking about experiencing hope, that our hope is built on nothing less. And I love that word in that song, nothing less, because we tend to build our hope often on lesser things, people, activities, money, I mean, you name it, in our culture. And then when those things dissipate, there goes our hope. But when our hope is built on nothing less, see, then God's righteousness, His love for us, His intentional love for us, that's for eternity. And that's a firm foundation. So I appreciate you sharing that with us today. You know, our whole ministry is built around this belief that God is an intentional God. We see that in the book of Genesis. And we're made in His image. Therefore, we are intended to be men and women who live an intentional life. And we talk about the power of one thing. We talk about every day having one thing that draws us closer to God, that helps us grow in our life. Over a year, 365 one things every day throughout the year that can make a difference in our relationship with Him. It's a powerful thing. And let me just say this, if you have a one thing that you would like to experience in your life and you're committed to saying every day for the next 30 days, here's my one thing, I'd love to send you my one thing wristband that I wear. All you have to do is come on over and to theintentionallife.com/WB. Tell us what it is and we'll get that to you. We're standing with you. We love you. We can experience hope together.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
All right, Larry, want to get you on the line here. Welcome to the program. How can I help you today?
I'm a 46-year-old single male, and I'm raising two little girls. And I've been struggling. I mean, it's chaos in my house, you know. They constantly lie, you know. They fight with each other. Their mom ran out of them, and they take all their frustrations out on me, you know. And I don't know what to do anymore.
Is mom still involved in their life?
In and out, though, you know. If she sees them for a little bit, then she comes in town for maybe a month and it takes off and they go nuts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just constantly in and out. Everything that I've tried to do, you know, it just goes out the window when she comes into town. And
yeah, well, that's very disruptive. How old are your girls?
They're 9 and 11.
At this stage, how are you doing?
I'm constantly under stress, you know. I'm constantly, it's a battle every day, you know. And pray every day for some help, you know, but I just feel like the Lord is not there for me, you know. That's how I feel, you know.
Well, He is, brother, and I hear you, and I think we've all had moments where we feel that. I mean, even in the best of lives, there's moments when we just say, where are you, God? Where are you? We see that in Scripture, and you're overwhelmed, man. You're tired. You're exhausted. You're carrying this whole ball alone, and you start to get the thing moving in the right direction, and all of a sudden, mom shows up and messes everything up. And, you know, one of the things, Larry, for you, is we talk about hope. Hope doesn't only mean that we sit passively by waiting for something to happen. God wants us to act, and to live intentionally is to look at the problem and make an assessment of what's going to bring glory to Christ and what's the right thing to do. These girls need stability in their home. They need to know that you're there and you're continuing to follow through and you're being the dad they need. What they don't need is mom coming in, messing things up and going back out. In other words, she gets her jollies, gets her little fill of whatever she's looking for, right? And then she's back out doing what she thinks she needs to do or wants to do. That in and out of the kids' lives is not healthy. And so I think you need to take some action. I don't know what that is. I don't know legally what it is. I don't know what kind of help you need, but you do need to get some help. You may need some legal help. You need to get some counseling help, and you need to get some help that can help you with the girls so you can get a break and take care of yourself. Because you are exhausted, man, and you're not going to continue to survive. And what'll happen, I'll tell you, it's a cycle people fall into. You start to feel overwhelmed, the expectations aren't being met, disappointment sets in, and then hopelessness sets in. And you don't want to get to that point. So take some action and do it consistently and reach out. Don't wait for someone to come and help you. Reach out. Call your pastor. Call a counselor. Get some help, practical help, so you don't have to carry this alone. Kids are so vulnerable to adults' behavior, and it's a reminder. Listen, be in or be out. Be in or be out. Parenting is not about me and what makes me feel good. It's about my kids and what's going to help them become responsible adults. We're talking intentional living today. You can join us, 888-888-1717. We've got Sess on the line with a question from New Mexico. Welcome to the program.
Hi, hello. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
I wanted to get your word on a couple of things. I was recently engaged since January. I was with my fiance for about almost 3 years, and kind of similar to Eric's story, his wife wasn't understanding the blended family, and my fiance didn't have kids. I didn't have kids, and I do have kids. I have a 6 and a 9-year-old, and it was kind of the same situation. He was having a hard time understanding that I had to, converse with their father, and that it would always be that way. And so it came to the point where now, we still talk. I've moved out of the home, but we're no longer engaged or in a relationship. We talk and it feels like maybe it's going to go somewhere, or we're going to work it out, and then it feels like it's not going to. And so it's been kind of confusing as to whether just to let this go.
Are you pushing it, or is he pushing it?
It's kind of mutual, but more so with him. I think he's pushing it more that he doesn't have kids, and he's having a hard time understanding, again, like, that I have to have, I have to do, exchanges with their father, and their father, he has some things that he needs to work on in his life, and he's not the best role model at times, but that's...
Well, Sess, here's what I hear in your voice. I hear you completely overwhelmed.
Yes.
You're tired.
It's overwhelming.
And you've got one, and again, intentional living, Sess, is about prioritizing our life. It's sort of starting out with what are the main things I got to take care of? Life is full of a lot of stuff, but what's the big thing right now? And when I hear you saying the number one priority in your life right now has got to be raising those kids.
Yeah.
Not complicating it by having a relationship, having someone living in the house with you, talking about engagement, not understanding. This is complicating his life and your life is what I hear.
Yes.
It's not just you. Exactly. It's him too. And not to mention the kids. I imagine the kids are probably thinking, now where's he? They probably started to connect with him and now he's out of the house. And that's disruptive to the kids.
Right.
We have talked for 25 years, Sess, I've said basically the same thing from this microphone. When you got a priority to raise the kids, raise the kids. Don't complicate your life with outside relationships. Just don't do it. I mean, you got a priority, and your priority right now is to raise those kids, get them to a place where they can be on their own, and then at that point to really honor, to glorify Christ, to have a healthy, God-based process of building a relationship with a man. And if that comes, it comes at a right time with the right person who can understand what's going on in your life. What I hear you saying to me, Sess, is that you have no peace on where you are right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that the thing I'm struggling with is for the past couple of years, you know, everything was going fine. I mean, it was as if he was fine with everything, you know. He understood in the beginning that, you know, I had kids and he did great with them and they loved him and they still do. And like I said, we still talk and occasionally he sees my kids. But then all of a sudden it kind of just went like, you know, he just realized this is a lot for me. He didn't realize it was going to be this hard.
What is your spirit telling you? The part that's connected with God, what is God telling you?
I feel like he's telling me to let go of this relationship. And I think that's what I'm in the process of doing by moving out. And, you know, the conversations haven't been far and few between, you know, and just trying to let go of that whole idea of marriage in the first place. You know, I've never been married before and it was something that I thought, you know, it was going to be forever, and it just didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And
you weren't married.
I wasn't married before.
Were you married to this man?
No, we were engaged.
You're engaged
in January.
All right. So as it got more to the place of, hey, maybe we're going to get married, if I heard you right, he was saying, hey, this is a lot. This is more than I thought this was going to be.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, Sess, listen. The less, you know, those of us who have ears to hear, let us learn. And I would really encourage you as a brother in Christ that you really focus on your kids, really get through this period of loss in your life, really focus on your relationship with Christ and with your kids, and don't depend upon a relationship other than your relationship with Christ right now, and then really get into some counseling for yourself before you would look to the future with this man or not, to make sure that God is in the middle of it. And it's going to be a relationship that's going to be healthy for both of you. Because right now, it doesn't sound like it is for either of you, and certainly not the kids. Hope comes sometimes when we take the action. We experience hope when we take the action that honors Christ. Okay, we're talking intentional living today. By the way, we're going to stay here in the studio and record a program for later. I'd love to have you call. Maybe you relate to some things you're hearing, got some input you'd like to share, or maybe you have experienced the hope in Christ intentionally and want to share an encouraging story. Do so at 888-1717. Running out of time, but Sandy wants to weigh in with a story on how hope has impacted her life. Go right ahead, Sandy.
One thing I've learned in the years that I have served the Lord is you cannot base your hope on circumstances, happenings, or events, because you can make plans, but the Bible says man proposes and God disposes. We had a star athlete for his son, and being scouted for pro baseball by age 15, traveled with the Pro Cub Scout team, and so many hopes and dreams. This year experienced our son going to prison, drug addiction that has increased from one drug to the next. Started out with Percocet, Xanax, given to him by a dirty doctor. The addictions of that for a baseball injury in the shoulder, and on and on. And, you know, my husband coached him all his life, and we had these wonderful dreams and in a God-given talent. But we have seen those seemingly shattered and devastated. And, you know, the word says perfect love casts out all fear. Fear was gripping when he first entered prison. I honestly, emotionally thought I would just die. But when I came to the realization that my plans, my son's plans, the baseball world's plans, were not necessarily God's plans. But the one thing I've learned is my hope is in God. My hope is in the blood of Jesus and his grace that is new every morning.
Amen. Thank you, Sandy. Listen, I think you capped it by saying your hope is what we would call intentional hope. You realize that you had to intentionally focus your hope on the right source. Let's face it, some people, when they feel hopeless, They turn to drugs, alcohol, relationships, work, hobbies, good things, bad things, good intentions, bad intentions. But when our intention is focused on the hope and the person of Jesus Christ, that's what is transformational. Boy, this has been an interesting day. A lot of calls on various topics, bringing us back to the hope we experience in Jesus Christ.
My name is Connie, and I am a single parent, and I just want to thank Dr. Randy Carlson for doing this show today, because I struggle a lot with raising my daughter, and one of the things that I really do try to stay focused on is spiritual principles in our house, and sometimes I do stray off of the path, and because it just seems like sometimes it's so overwhelming, you know, work, being the financer, being the, you know, the only ear, and, you know, having to take in everything, and just the whole shebang of things is overwhelming for us. Yeah, I just want to thank you. You've helped me so many days. You've given me a lot of hope. So just want to thank you. God bless you all. Bye-bye.
Hey, thank you, Connie. I'm glad to be a part of your life in this way as we journey life together. And let me just say, you sound like you're doing a good job. Welcome to the humanity and to the world and to the challenges. And let me tell you, from one who's been down the trail probably many more years than you, that every season will have its challenges. Challenges of being a young person, dating, getting married, having children, maybe going through a divorce or loss, the empty nest, retirement, health challenges. Life is full of different stages and phases, and the key is getting up every day. And if you experience hope, listen, hope is something that God has for us. It's not something we can conjure up in our own mind or heart. It's there. But how we experience it is to trust Him and then continue to live intentionally in Him and allow that hope to fill our lives. As we wrap up the show today, I hope that you've experienced a little touch of hope today, encouragement for yourself. And I just want to say thanks to those of you who have been praying for and supporting the ministry of Intentional Living. We couldn't do this without you. Your financial support's making a difference. If you're not a member, come and join us. Your monthly support will go a long ways toward impacting people for Christ. And we'll get you signed up when you do to the exclusive Intentional Living Mentor page, where you'll have access to all of my teaching and other resources from Intentional Living as part of the family. How do you do that? Give us a call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, or go to theintentionallife.com. Hey, thanks for being a part of the ministry. Thanks for joining us today. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, the ministry of Intentional Life Media.